Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Welcome back to another Sunday Night Live. It's now in December. Woohoo! We've been listening to some Christmas music. We're trying to get in that Christmas spirit. And I'm really excited because, you know, December, I really want to just focus on getting through the holidays in different areas of our life. Finances can be hard sometimes, and we have family matters that are different than what they used to be. And so there's just areas of our life that we need to get through in this holiday season. And, you know, last week I actually had Pastor Mercer and Marianne McGinnis on the radio, and they are our pastors here at Cornerstone Church. And so I wanted to bring Marianne back in with me today and just talk a little bit about her and some of the things that, you know, she does here at Cornerstone and some of the blessings and a ministry that she has, and maybe some of, if she's willing to share some of her story. And so I want to welcome Marianne McGinnis. How are you, Marianne?
I'm doing great, except I just spilled coffee all over myself. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. You know, last week we had you on here with Aaron Mercer, our pastor here at Cornerstone Church. That is actually where this broadcast is homed out of. You know, we do this out of the sanctuary. I'm kind of like, what's the name of that big building? You know, the big church, at a big church. And so I wanted to just spotlight a little bit more about you, because I know you do. You have so many hands in so many different areas, and what a blessing you are to Cornerstone. And I know that Aaron and Sonia Mercer are just blessed to have you on their team and on their side. And I tell you what, when we need something done, you call Marianne McGinnis and she will get it done. So Marianne, just last week you talked a little bit about your We Win Wednesday, but I wanted you to go into a little bit more about that and just tell us some of the different things that you do here at Cornerstone.
Okay, well, We Win Wednesday is something that I do every week, of course, on Wednesday, unless I forget, and then I call it the Thursday edition of We Win Wednesday.
There you go.
But it's really just little short, under 1 minute, little blurbs, and really basically it's just stuff that maybe God speaks to me in my own personal prayer time or a scripture here and there, and it's just to be a blessing and encouraging word to people. You know, just don't know what people are going through, and so hopefully it'll just be one little thing that they can hang on to for that day or whatever. And so I've enjoyed doing those. And as far as,
well, before we go on to something else, because I know you have many titles, hats in the ministry, and so let's go back to We Win Wednesday. How did you get into doing We Win Wednesday?
Well, okay, this is, I'm just going to be blatantly honest.
That's all we want. We want the real story. That's why we call it Sunday Night Live. We want the real deal.
I feel like I needed to step out of my comfort zone, and to be honest, I'm always intimidated about what I look like and what I sound like on video. And I just decided, you know, I can't let that stop me from spreading an encouraging word. And so it's something that I really have to fight through every time. And especially if I see myself or hear myself recording, we're so hard on ourselves. And I just decided, you know what, I'm going to kick this in the rear and just do it, and do it afraid and do it insecure. And so That's what I do. I just stepped out there because of that.
That's, you know, that is so true. And, you know, that even goes for me, too. You know, because these shows, the radio shows, are archived on our website at sundaynightlive.org. And I don't ever go back and listen to them because I think that same thing. I think that's something that we all pretty much go through. And I've heard that isn't that the number one fear that people have is public speaking? And that's basically what it is.
It is.
And so We Win Wednesday, it's a video that you create, and it's an encouraging word through the Bible, something in the scripture, like what you said. And so where is the We Win Wednesday at? I mean, how would someone be able to watch that?
So it airs every Wednesday at 6 a.m. on the Cornerstone Wheeler page on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yes.
So Cornerstone Wheeler Facebook page, they'll post that every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday at 6 a.m. And of course you can go back and look at the archives because all the videos are saved as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so how long have you been doing We Win Wednesday?
Oh man, probably 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years. Has it gotten any easier? Because you said when you stepped out, it was for trying to overcome insecurities. And do you feel like that is something that has helped you conquer that?
I definitely think it's getting better. I used to go 2 or 3 minutes because it's hard to get everything out in a minute. But I feel like that, you know, just short little clips, you know, people might be more apt to listen to. I know sometimes if I see a longer video, if I don't have time, I'm not going to take the time to do that. And so, thinking that, you know, a shorter video would be, you know, easier, but it's hard to get a lot in 1 minute. And so I talk super fast because you're trying to get so much in. And so that part of it has been really challenging. But as far as just overcoming being on video, yes, I do feel like it's gotten a lot easier. And I used to have to do 15 or 20 takes, and now I can do one or two and go, that's good enough. Let's go for it.
Yeah, there you go.
Not as much as a perfectionist as I used to be.
Oh, you realize it's okay. Those things
are okay. We're not perfect, and that's all right.
That's right. And just to let you guys know, it is really encouraging to hear Marianne. And so if you want that uplift on a Wednesday morning, go and check that out. Also, Cornerstone does have a Mountain Moving Monday, which is Sonia Mercer. And then Friday is Family Friday?
Family Faith Friday.
Family Faith Friday with Kayla Zeebach. So
they are both so, so good. So tune in to both of them as well.
So definitely Facebook page, Cornerstone Facebook page is a good place to be encouraged throughout the week if you're needing just to hear a little encouraging word. So tell us a little bit more. Okay, let's tell us more about what you've got going in Marianne's world.
Well, I feel very blessed to be here in this position, whatever it is. But I basically am in charge of like the daily operations, and then I get to oversee all of our volunteers, which we have over 100 volunteers that serve during the week. And so I get to connect with all of them on a regular basis. And I oversee the children's ministry and praise and worship ministry, and I get to plan special events and organize those. And then every week I pop into the nursing home and assisted living in the jail, and I get to bring like devotions to them, and so that's really great. And then
you go to the nursing home and the
assisted living
and the jail?
Yes.
Wow, you do all that in the week?
Once a week I go in there.
Is it all in the same day or is it separate days?
Yes, it's separate days.
Okay.
And then I also lead our Celebrate Recovery group. We have an amazing, amazing group of people. And we get together at 6 o'clock here in Wheeler on Tuesday nights. And I love the Celebrate Recovery program. And it's not just for people that struggle with addictions, but any hurt, habit, or hang-up. And people are getting set free right and left. And so wonderful, wonderful ministry, an opportunity to come be a part of a great group.
So some people may have never heard of Celebrate Recovery. Some people may, you know, and I think that a lot of times they hear the word recovery and they probably think drugs or alcohol.
Right.
But really, what is Celebrate Recovery? I know you said a little bit about it, but kind of go in a little bit more about what Celebrate Recovery is. What is, you know, what do you do? What do you do at Celebrate Recovery?
Well, it's really great because we open up with just checking on each other and seeing how each other's doing. And it's amazing the things that come out, you know, just in talking about how your week went. And these are the things that are going great, or this is what I'm struggling with. And then we have a curriculum that we use. And so we'll go through and we'll read a lesson, and then we have questions based on that lesson. And it's just really amazing. And a lot of times people will come for one reason, but then God sets them free in many other areas of their life.
Good.
And it's amazing. And so we have people in there that, struggle with, addictions, all different kinds of addictions. We have people in there for divorce recovery, the loss of a loved one, just overcoming any habits, anger issues, people pleasing, learning how to set boundaries. It's just like, I don't know, God, it's like we come in and we have our issues and God just gets to the heart. And I think that's what I love about this program is that we have all these things that we deal with. But when we come and we give these things to God, He goes after the root of them. And so we can all day try to stop doing something or try to start doing something. But if we don't know what the root of that is, it's just like treating symptoms. And so God has a way, and somehow He does it every single time we meet. God has a way of getting to the heart, and we get to help each other and support each other, come to those places, and the Holy Spirit just does His thing, but gets to some of the root of the issues. And once we do that and just let Him fill us with His grace, it's like other things just fall by the wayside. We've had so many miracles, so many tremendous testimonies of people getting set free.
Oh, that is so good. So you said it's here at Cornerstone. So is it open to anybody, or is it just open to the members that go to Cornerstone Church?
It is open to anyone, and we meet at our youth building, which is across the street from the courthouse here in Wheeler, to the west on the corner. It's the old Buck and Beyond building, and we have people from different churches and all over the place, and so, yeah, it's really great.
So it's just open to anybody that wants to come out and just get with a group of people that can strengthen them and help them through whatever they may be going through. And that's, again, that's on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock at 420 South Main Street. And so if you want to be a part of that, they would love to have you. And isn't there like a secret code, like what's the word, where you don't share secrets?
That's right. Everything is confidential. It's just like kind
of, that's the word I'm looking for.
It's like what goes on here stays here. And so we're very big about keeping things confidential. And that's one of the things that we really, really emphasize is so it will be a safe place for people to open up and be truthful about where they're at. Because what does the Bible say? The truth will make you free.
Amen.
And we're fixing to start a Shamrock group as well. So be tuned for that. If you're if you're from the Shamrock area, we're going to be starting a Celebrate Recovery group on Monday nights at 6 p.m. at Calvary Christian Fellowship. And I believe they're starting this next Monday or maybe the next Monday, but very, very soon.
Okay. So be looking for more details if you're in the Shamrock area.
We'll be posting that on the Cornerstone Wheeler Facebook page. So yeah, I'll be looking for that.
Okay. And so if you want to know how you can find that Facebook page, you can go to SundayNightLive.org, and there's actually a link on our website that will take you to that Facebook page if you're not able to find it on Facebook. Because, sometimes there could be several Cornerstones and you don't know which one it is. But you can find that link there as well. All right. So let's talk more about so we talked about Celebrate Recovery and some of these other things that you've done. Did I interrupt you? I can't remember. Did we get it all out?
You're good.
Did you get all your did you get all your hats talked about?
I think so.
Well, I wanted to touch, and the Holy Spirit really just brought this up into my heart, and so I wanted to touch a little bit about this. Now, how long have you been in Wheeler?
About 11 and a half years.
So 11 and a half years. And so, you are very much a blessing to Wheeler and to Cornerstone. And I wanted to go into how you actually came here, because I was a part of that. And I think it's such a cool story, but it also can be an encouragement to someone that feels like they need to move on to the next step. I was, Cornerstone had the Christian school at the time, and I was actually the principal at the time, and I wasn't doing near the hats that you do now. And so that's part of what the blessing came with you, but I was the one doing that, and I just knew that God had told me that it was time for me to step down. But it was really hard, because I knew the Mercers were at a new season in their life, and I really had a hard time having to tell them. And so I decided that I should let them know pretty early, because I was only going to finish out the school year and then I was going to step down. So we had them, they make jokes to this day. So we had them out to our house and we had steaks. I know. And so now it's kind of a joke. Anytime we have a Mapper Stakes, we're like, oh gosh, what are you going to tell us now? But anyway, so told them, I think it was right around December when I told them that I was going to, it was very hard because I love the Mercers, and I still feel like that James and I are to be here for them to lift up their right and left hands, mm-hmm. or arms, and but it was just in a different capacity. So anyway, told them, of course, it hit hard, and it was hard, but what began a process is Marianne coming to Wheeler, and that is where we have to go where God tells us to go. We have to do what God tells us to do, because I believe had I not done that, you know, Marianne may not be here now. And we are so blessed and thankful mm-hmm. that you were here, because not only did you take a, you know, you at the time you became principal, but now that school is not here anymore. And so you have moved into so many blessings and such a great capacity in Wheeler that you really are a blessing, not only to this church, but to this community.
Thank you.
And so I know a lot of people would be saying that. So I just want to say thank you for coming to Wheeler, and thank you for doing all of these things. I mean, my goodness, Marianne, look at your schedule. I just don't know who all could do that. But not to get off, I don't know if you want to say anything to that. I'll give you an opportunity if you want to respond to that.
Well, real quickly, it's just amazing how it's like God has this big, it's like he plays chess and he moves pieces into place at exactly the right time. And so, I mean, God had actually, I was in Dumas in full-time ministry over there, running the school over there, doing all the things. And I was praying one day and I said, God, I am so blessed here, but if you need me somewhere else, I'll go. But I'm so blessed here. And I was trying to emphasize to God, but I'm so blessed here, but I'm open, but I'm blessed. And then I just had the thought, and I wasn't even thinking about Wheeler or anything. It just came from out of nowhere. And I just had the thought, you're going to end up in Wheeler. And to be honest, I was like, no, no, no. That's like the end of the earth over there.
At a desert.
And so I put it on a shelf, and I was like, all right, God, if this is you, then you make it happen. But I'm not going to step out and try to do anything. Just because it just kind of overwhelmed me, to be honest, because I just thought that is out in the middle of nowhere. And I didn't tell a soul. And then 6 years later, right around Christmas time, I get a phone call. And it was from my pastor over there, actually. And he just kind of laid out, hey, the Mercers have been praying and just really feel like that God has placed you on their heart for the last couple of years. And so this was already in the works. And so when he said that, I was like, yeah, I'll go. And he's like, no, no, you can pray about it. No, I already know. I'm going to go. And then that Sunday, one of the songs that we sang is a praise and worship called, a praise and worship song called To the Ends of the Earth.
That is hilarious.
I was talking about serving God. I will serve you, God, to the ends of the earth. And you know what? Fast forward now, and immediately when I moved here, it's been such a great blessing for me to be here. And you say that you're blessed, and the community's blessed, and the church is blessed by me. But oh my gosh, 100 times more do I feel blessed by being here. I feel loved. I feel celebrated. I feel cherished. There's just no stopping what God wants to do.
That's right.
Here in this community and in this area.
And
so,
you know,
I love being a part of it.
Yes, it's so good. And I just, you know, I just hated to tell the Mercers, and I'm like, God, is this really you? Is this really you saying this? But it was, and it was a confirmation to me that I did hear the voice of God.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's, I refer back, and that's why I wanted to share the story, because I refer back to that all the time. You know what? I do hear the voice of God. Sometimes I may question whether or not I hear it, but I refer back to that, and I did hear the voice of God. So
that's good. And we became great friends out of it. And
that's
so,
right. I got a good friend. That's right. That's
more
right.
And more.
Yep. That's right. And another addition to my family and to my world too. So
absolutely.
All right. So I know that. So you've been here. You said 11 plus years.
Yes.
And through that 11 plus years, there's been some things that probably that you have gone through and have struggled with, and I just wondered if you would be willing to share a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Where to start? So I had never been married before, and I got married here when I was 48 years old, and it was just one of those things where I felt like it was more than just a desire. But to be married and have a family, it was a calling. And so for years and years and years, I I was believing God for marriage and then also struggling being single. But I got married and loved being married. And about 4.5 years later, everything just kind of went south. And my marriage ended. And I never wanted my marriage to end. And it was a really, really hard thing because it was such a great desire for me. And so I have been walking on the journey of going through a divorce, and I've been divorced now for almost 2 years. And I'm telling you, it's been an amazing journey.
Yes. So you've been going through, you know, you've been going through this divorce, and you and I love what you said is you wanted to stay married. You wanted to be married. And I love that. And it just shows the desire of your heart. And also, you said you married for the first time at 48. And so there's been most of your life has been a life of being single versus being married. And so with that being a dream of yours to be married and to have a family, how was it to, what's it like for you when you see other families, or what do you do for yourself as a single person through the holidays and through the different things?
Well, I may be answering this question indirectly, but for me, I just have seen the faithfulness of God and the hand of God so much that I feel like if he could bring me through this, he can bring me through anything. And if he can bring me through this, he can bring you or anyone else that's out there struggling through this holiday season through anything, whether it's being single, whether it's feeling alone, whether it's a sickness, whether it's, you know, relationship issues, financial problems. I'm telling you, the faithfulness of God I have seen like no other in the last few years. It's been absolutely a miracle. And I've seen how, you know, God can take the good and the bad and the ugly and turn it into something amazing. Because I can say now, even after having gone through really a tragedy for me because I wanted marriage so bad, just coming through it and knowing or feeling like I can wake up in the morning, I look forward to life, I love life, I'm blessed in every area, even coming through that, it just hopefully will give people hope that whatever they're going through, there is joy on the other side of it. And not only joy on the other side, but joy in the midst. I think that the moment that I was separated and began walking through that whole process, it was like I feel like this can be true for anybody because it was true for me. If it can be true for me, it can be true for anybody because God has no, I mean, we're all his favorites. He shows no favoritism. And so as we put our faith and our trust in God, we can not only survive through what we're going through, but we can thrive
through it.
And I'm telling you, I am a testimony to thriving through a horrible situation.
You know, that is so good. because you said that you wanted to be married, you know, so you really wanted that. That was such a dream and a heart's desire, and you got married, and then things, now you're not married, and you're having to walk through that. And so do you see a difference in, because, you know, what you wanted and what God meant for good, devil sometimes can, you know, come in and intervene. But God, what I'm actually trying to say is do you see a difference from before, and do you see a difference in yourself now?
I really do, because before, I think I had a lot of moments of knowing that God was my all-in-all, and he was my everything, and he was my ultimate need meter, and I could look to him and not put my hope and faith in a husband or a man, but really look to God to meet all my needs. But I had moments of just feeling lonely and feeling like, is this ever going to happen? And so there was a lot of struggling times. But now on the other side of it, it's just like 100 times more that I know that God is my all in all, and he is my need meter, and he wants to bless me. He wants to help me. And it seems like it might be the opposite when you've wanted to be married all your life, and then it ends in divorce, and then here you are again. But it's like, I don't know, God, the Bible says that God is the glory and the lifter up of your head. And I feel, even going through all that, even at the moment that I was separated, I just felt such a lifting that God was with me, and he was going to carry me through, and he was going to get me through it. And like I said, thrive all the way through it. And I could just tell you story after story after how he got me through it. And I would love to offer hope to people about, you know, going through the fire, going through the waters, and not being drowned, not being burned, and not being overcome, but coming out shining like gold.
That is so good. And so how I hear it, and so correct me if I'm wrong, is there probably was some form of not being content before.
Yes.
You know, wanting
yes.
to, and your happy place or whatever in your mind was that
That's
husband.
Exactly right.
And then after, what I'm hearing now is that there's a contentment, like what Paul says, I'm found to be content. I'm content in any and every situation. And now you are in a contentment of, it don't matter. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm going to be content right where I'm at, knowing that God is with me.
Absolutely. And I feel like just within the last couple of weeks that God has taken that up to a new level for me, because I still have that dream and that desire to be married, have a family, all of the things. I still have that desire, and it is really strong. Like, it's beating in my heart strong. But I feel like now that I'm like, God, you know what my dreams are, and I can totally trust you with my dreams. And I think before I got married, I struggled with that. Like, can I really trust God with the dreams and the desires of my heart? Because when you go for that long and till I was 48 years old, that's a long time to go. And so when you go for that long, sometimes you can try to take things into your own hands, because you're like, well, is this ever going to happen? And so now on the other side of it, I mean, I just feel like God has my best interest at heart. He is the person that can hold on to my dream for me. So I don't even have to live every day with, when's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? I can just totally give it to him. He has my best interests at heart. He knows the timing. The timings of my life are in his hands. And my dreams are safe with him. And he's the one. I delight myself in him. He gives me the desires of my heart. I don't have to worry about the desires of my heart. All I have to do is just keep delighting in him. And that word delight, I just thought that word delight means to be pliable. It reminds me of you. You were pliable when you said, okay, Mercer, I'm feeling like, you know, this is not where I need to be anymore. And you were pliable. I was pliable when I said, hey, I'll go wherever you want, God, even though, you know, I freaked out a little bit, but I still was pliable. And so when we are pliable in the hands of God, when we delight ourselves in him, he's going to take care of the desires of our hearts. So we don't even have to worry about that.
That is right. That is so good. you know, we're coming into the Christmas, and I know, because you have taught a series. We did a lunch series, and you taught on how to love yourself,
was how to love yourself well. Because sometimes when I hear people or I read things that say love yourself, it just kind of goes the wrong way, you know,
like in a negative way
or narcissistic way or whatever. And so. You know, we all know the verse that says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I realized, am I really loving myself the way that God wants me to? And so I began to just really think about how much God loves me. And then what do? We take that love that he loves us with, and we love other people with it, you know. But do we take that same love that he has for me, and do I love myself well with the love he's given me? Am I, like, if I look at you, and let's say you say something, and you're like, oh man, Marion, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, it's okay, Natalie. I love you. I forgive you. Whatever. We do that all the time.
Yeah.
But do we do that with ourselves when we make mistakes, when we miss the mark, when we say something wrong? Because I know for me, I can really beat myself up. And I've had to learn that when I do something, okay, God, I'm just going to take your love, and I'm going to love myself well with that. And I'm just going to relax and be easy, especially when you've gone through a tragedy or when you've gone through some hard stuff. We need to be taking extra time to receive that love that God has for us and love ourselves well. And in turn, that's going to cause us to have better relationships, because we'll be able to love other people well. But we've got to take the time to really get a revelation of God's love for us, and then use that love on ourselves. And it's kind of hard to explain, but anyways, it has really been a game changer for me to love myself well as I'm receiving the love of God, walking through hard times in my life.
So I think about you teaching on this loving yourself well, and this comes right after a tragedy that you went through. And I wanted to go back and reiterate, because you said you married for the first time at 48. And so do you think that prior to, you know, 48 and before? You know what I'm talking about? Did you love yourself well then? Were you on the road of, I'll do this when I have a spouse. I'll do this, or things will be changed when I have a spouse. Or do you think that you loved yourself well? Do you think that's something that came out of?
It definitely came out of my marriage, what I went through. It definitely did, because I never thought about it before. It was more love God, love others. And yourself is not in there anywhere. And so I just didn't even think about that. And so, yeah, there was just, I think I was more of a people pleaser. And I mean, I still struggle with that some, but I think that it's gotten a lot better. But just being a people pleaser, trying to do everything right, trying to say everything right. And then when I didn't, I really would have the condemnation. And the Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, I haven't walked in that. And so out of all of this, I don't know, it just came to me that on purpose, I have to on purpose love myself with God's love through what I'm going through. And it made a world of difference as I walked through that.
Well, I would think that it would be a healing process as well, that you're allowing yourself to, you know what, I did make mistakes, but that's okay.
Absolutely.
That's okay.
Absolutely.
Not that you did major mistakes, but you know, you may, like you said, you may not always say the right thing, or you want to be perfect and you may not always be perfect. And Lord knows I'm not perfect, but you know what I mean? And I think we put so much pressure on ourselves. And like what you said earlier, you said that we offer grace to other people, but we don't give ourselves grace.
That's exactly right. And I don't even think we realize. I think for me anyways, I was in such the habit of it that when kind of God opened my eyes up to it, I thought, man, I'm not treating myself well at all. And like, I don't even think the devil, I think he just stands back. He didn't have to do anything because I'm doing it myself. And that's exactly what he wants to do. The devil himself is such an emotional manipulator, an emotional abuser, and he twists things to where we're so tricked into almost like we abuse ourselves emotionally by the thoughts that we think about ourselves and by the way we beat ourselves up. And that is not God's plan for our lives at all. Because he's not a beater-upper. He's not an emotional abuser. He's not a manipulator. God is not. And I think that, you know, sometimes we just allow the enemy to come in and twist our thoughts and our minds like that.
Oh, definitely. And that's where the battlefield is at, is in the mind.
Yeah.
If you want to win, you have to get your mind right in the Word and know what God says about you in that Word.
Absolutely.
And so we're talking about loving yourself well. Tell us some ways that, if you don't mind, so that some of us will know what you mean. What are some practical ways that we can love ourselves well?
Well, the first thing I think we got to do is just receive that love from God and know His love. And, you know, the Bible says He wants us to know the depths and the lengths and the heights and the width of His love. And so we may, you know, we may think we know the love of God, but there's so many more layers that He wants to uncover and unfold of Himself so that we can experience more and more love. So I think we have to receive that. But practically, like, I mean, this may sound so ridiculous to somebody, but I don't care.
That's right.
Sometimes before I go to bed, because I'm by myself now, and so no one's going to bring me coffee, right? And so sometimes at night before I go to bed, on purpose, I pop a new Keurig cup in there. I get my favorite mug. I stick it under there, and I fill the thing up with water so that in the morning, all I have to do is come in and push the button. And I just on purpose make a cup of coffee for myself because I love myself. Well, I love coffee, and so to have someone bring me a cup of coffee would be amazing. Obviously, there's nobody there to do that. And so I just do it for myself, and I just feel loved. And this is something that I'm doing for myself. And some other things is, you know, just making your life easier. You know, when I was married, I wanted to make my husband's life easier. And we do that as wives. We want to lift their load, so to speak. Well, why don't I lift my load and do something the night before so that I don't have to do it in the morning? Or, just, you know, keep my car cleaned out for myself just because I want it to be clean. All these things, if we just kind of do a mindset change, and I'm going to do this for myself because this is what I like. This is what I prefer. Or, you know, I'm just having a tough day today. And so, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to buy myself a mug from the dollar store, whatever, just to tell myself.
Yeah. So on the, just to tell yourself that it's okay. But, you know, as you're talking, you know what I think of? It's perspective. Because we can think about those things in a selfish way, but it's changing our perspective. It's changing, going back to what we're saying, the way we think, you know? It's a negative thing that we do something that we like, you know? And like what you were saying earlier, that in a narcissist way of loving myself well, no, that's not what it is. It's not a bad thing to do things that you like. It's, and I know this is a probably a bad word, but like self-care, that is something that we do. We put that off. And we don't take care of ourselves, but we want to take others. And how much more does that happen in ministry? Because that, you know what ministry is that you love God and you love people. And you had touched on that earlier, that you get into that no matter what, I'm going to do this for other people. Even if it puts me out, I'm going to do that to other people. And I don't think necessarily that God wants us to put ourselves on the back burner.
I don't think so either. I think sometimes we get our priorities kind of mixed around there. But one of the things I was thinking about when you said that, and the reason why I like to say loving yourself well, I just feel like that has the connotation of, well, think of the opposite. If I see someone and they're just super flustered and super stressed, and it's harder to be around a person that's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm around somebody that obviously has taken time to be calm or taken time to love themselves well, it's just a different feeling that you get when you're around somebody. So
it's a different atmosphere.
When we love ourselves well, we're actually loving other people because we're presenting that loved person to them, not the stressed person, the hateful person, the bitter person. And so when we receive God's love, and like you said, that just causes so much healing to come, we're presenting ourselves in a much more positive light to other people.
You know, it's kind of like, this is a story, this is how I relate it, which I don't know if this is going to be a good analogy. But you know, when you have someone come over to your house and your house is dirty and you say, I am so sorry my house is dirty.
Yeah.
And we apologize for our house being dirty. And then on the flip side, they don't have a clean house. And so they're like, oh, I don't think your house is dirty. And so you put pressure on the guest that then like, I don't know if I can go visit them anymore because, you know, or I don't want them at my house. And I say that as an analogy because when you get around someone that is constantly trying to do everything right, we're putting that pressure on the people that are around us. And not even realizing it when we're actually just, we're putting that pressure on ourselves.
We really are.
And then as we put that on ourselves, in return, we're putting that on those people that are around us.
And we don't even realize it. And I think I've done that so much, especially in my position here at Cornerstone. Like I'm constantly got to do this and got to do this and got to do this. And I feel like, man, what kind of person am I presenting myself to other people? Oh, gosh, she's too busy. I don't want to mess with her because I don't want to take up too much of her time. And blah, when that is not what I want. I want to be the type of person, you know, like say I have a messy house. I mean, I've got a big messy office right now. But for someone to just come in and me to sit down and go, I'm so glad to see you. It's suddenly the mess goes away. Who cares about the mess? It's about that person. And so if I'm flustered all the time and I've got to do this and that, you know, I would rather be like, oh, all this can wait. What's going on with you?
Or yeah, whatever. This doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We just think so many things matter that don't matter. And that's what I've learned about God is that the things that really we feel like are important are not as important to God. And the things that are important to God, we need to make those things be more important. And really, when you just wash it all away, it's about people and it's about love. It's about loving God, of course, and loving other people and loving ourselves well.
That's right. Okay, so earlier when we were talking at the beginning, you had said a little bit about how much you really desired to be married, and you saved yourself until you were 48 years old to get married, and then you went on to say that some things resulted, and now you're divorced. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind just sharing just a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, boy, like I said before, that was something that I never expected, never wanted to happen, but, you know, sometimes it just works out that. And so I found myself separated, and so just part of my story here is I immediately knew that I could either stuff all the pain down and never deal with it, or I could step it down and deal with it when it was more convenient, or I could just go ahead and face up to the pain, face up to the things that I needed to do to get through this. And and deal with it now and instead of later. And so I just felt like God kind of presented that to me, where you can deal with it never, you can deal with it later, or you can deal with it now. And so I just chose, I just wanted to get healthy again. I wanted to get healthy as quickly as I could. I mean, I know healing is a process, so not trying to rush that, but I knew that I would delay my pain if I waited to deal with it. And so I said, all right, God, you're with me. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You're with me here. And in the moment, in these moments that I feel completely brokenhearted. And so I just began to not stuff things down. And as I felt the pain, and part of the pain was just not knowing what to do. And you know, when you're separated, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, is this going to end in divorce? Are things going to get better? How are we going to go on from here? And so that's a lot of, you know, just not knowing too. And that can be really, really difficult to go through when you just don't know how it's going to turn out. And I remember listening to a message by Joel Osteen in that, when I was just so like, I just don't know what's going to happen. And he preached a message called Being Comfortable in the Not Knowing. And that really, really helped me. And as I just began to walk through being separated and not knowing what was going to be on the end of that, I really felt like God was just really speaking to me about, I'm going to put the pieces of your life back together. Because when you get brokenhearted over whatever loss it is that you're going through, it's not that your heart breaks in half. It's that your heart breaks into a million pieces. And I'm getting choked up a little bit because it is painful to talk about and it is painful to think about. But also on the flip side of it is that God's grace is so sufficient, and his mercy is there, and his love is there, and his comfort is there, and it will truly get us through anything. And I'm just such a testimony of God's mercy and faithfulness in my life to get me through that. But back to the broken pieces of your life, it's just, your heart does. It breaks into a million different pieces, but piece by piece, God puts that puzzle back together, and he takes the good and the bad and the ugly, and he turns it into something amazing. We all have good that we've done in our lives and good that has been done to us. We all have bad that we've done and bad that has been done to us. We all have ugly that we've done and ugly that has been done to us. And God just has a way of putting a couple teaspoons of his grace in there and mixing it all together, and something amazing comes out of it.
That's good, but I'm the type of person, I'm black and white, or I need a picture. So you said you decided to go ahead and face the pain and go through that pain. How do you do that? Like, explain to us, help us to know when we are going through something that has broken our heart and that we want to just go ahead and get through the pain. How did you do that?
Well, I'm going to back up for a second. So, you know, you went on a trip to Israel with Sonia Mercer, the pastor's wife.
Uh-huh.
And while y'all were there, I'm just being really vulnerable here. I see all the pictures y'all put on Facebook, and you're smiling and you're laughing. And I just got jealous. And I was like, man, they didn't invite me to go on this trip. And look at they're having all that fun. And I just felt like God was just having a conversation with me. Man, and immediately I wanted to just stuff the jealousy down, because we don't like those feelings, those negative feelings. And I felt like I just said, whoa, 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 keep that jealousy right there. I'm like, okay. He goes, let me breathe my life on that. And so I just let that jealousy sit there. And I was like, God, just breathe your life on this jealousy. And then it was like we had a conversation. Marian, does Natalie like you? I mean, is she your friend? Yes. Does Sonia like you? Is she your friend? Yes. Okay, so they're your friends. So what's the problem? And I was like, oh, I guess there's no problem. And I completely got over that. It was a moment of jealousy that came up, but it's like God just talked me through it. And so I had been kind of putting that into practice. Whenever I would feel like a negative feeling, I began to let it sit there and deal with it instead of just pushing it away and going on with my day. And it really prepared me for what I was fixing to go through and being separated. And so I knew that process, and I knew how God had helped me with that. So I began to apply the same thing with when I was really feeling the loss of a broken marriage, or when I was just feeling lonely, or feeling just any kind of negative emotion that would come up being separated. I just said, all right, God, I'm just going to let this sit there. I'm not going to stuff it down. You breathe your life on it. You help me through this. And it was just a moment by moment thing, Natalie. I wish it could be like I only have to do that every 24 hours or every week. But, man, when you're in the thick of it and when you're in the midst of it, it's a moment by moment. And sometimes it's very, very often. And then I came across the scripture a few days after this process. And I'm sorry, I don't know where it's found, but it said, every morning I will arise and worship you, and I will lay the pieces of my life on your altar and watch your fire fall. And so I just, that word pieces stuck out to me. And that's kind of where I got the whole puzzle piece thing, where God wants to put the pieces of your life back together. And so I began to lay out those pieces of my life. And a lot of those pieces had to do with my marriage. And so, Lord, I would say, Lord, I just put this piece out here, this pain that I'm feeling, this rejection that I'm feeling, this not knowing that I'm feeling. But then I also had some health issues that came, that stemmed from all of that. And I had some major financial issues. I was in debt, credit card debt, and my name was on them. And so there were all these pieces. And so I began a practice every day. And it was kind of cool, because I looked up and I saw my fireplace. And so it was like, oh, firefall. I just, the pieces of my life. And so I just pictured myself putting those pieces of my life into that fireplace and letting God consume them, meaning meet those needs, take care of them. And so every day, and I still do that to this day, and I say, okay, God, here's the pieces of my life that I'm dealing with. And every day it's different. I mean, sometimes it's the same, sometimes it's different. But, boy, I had some amazing, and still do, had some amazing times where God was just day after day, moment after moment, bringing that healing.
You know, and what I'm hearing you say is it's surrender. Because, you know, there's times when we go through things, when we don't know the unknown, or we don't know we have the unknown. We try to control, maybe, at least I do sometimes, because I don't know the unknown. And so it's more of just surrendering it all and saying, okay, Lord, no matter what, I'm going to trust you, and yes, I surrender.
Yes, he's so worthy of trust.
And that's where, when you open up and you say, I'm going to let whatever I think it should be put out, you know, put it this out, but what do you see? What do you want?
Yes.
And just basically lift our hands up and say, it's yours, and get me through it. And he has, from what I have seen in your life, that he has really, that has been ringing true for you.
Oh, that's so totally true. I mean, he just knows, like, when we put it in his hands, he just has that dream. He has a way of just making it all work out. And to where you're not just surviving, but you're thriving in the midst through it. Can't remember if I mentioned that before earlier, but being able to thrive in the midst of a very horrible situation. That's how good it is. He doesn't want us to just barely keep our head above water. He wants us to walk on the water through it while we're going through it.
That's right.
And he can do that because, like you said, he's trustworthy. He's faithful.
That's right. So I have a question for you, and you may not want to answer it, but what was one of the most difficult things for you to go through when you were facing the end of your marriage?
Oh, gosh. You know, and I kind of saw it coming, actually. You know, I think just the loss of being married, because, like I said, I loved being married and dreamed about it for so long. And so I thought, okay, we're going back to square one. But you know what? With God, you don't ever have to go back to square one.
That's right.
And so I found myself just picking up maybe sort of where I left off when I was single, only 100 times better. But I think, in answer to your question, the loss of that dream. And I don't know, for people who have gone through a divorce, they may experience it like this. It feels like a death. It feels like, you know, because you're not going to see that person. Maybe you're not going to see that person ever again unless you have children or whatever and you see them. But in my case, you know, never seeing that person again. And it's just that loss of a dream that was so big in your heart. And so I think that was probably the hardest thing for me. I don't know. As I think about it more, I might think of something else. But that's what the first thing that came to me when you asked me that.
Yes, and I can see that, because it's something you really desire and pray for and you wanted and you saved yourself for, you know, and then for it to result in the way that it did. So some of our listeners may be listening that have gone through a divorce, but they're still stuck in the pain, and it's been years. What would you say to them? I mean, what would be your advice to those that maybe not necessarily, if they're going through a divorce or any type of loss in their life?
Absolutely.
What would be your advice to them?
Well, I would say that there's hope for you with what you're struggling with, and that even if you feel stuck in it, Maybe you just need to kind of analyze it and just kind of see where you're at, because God will pick you up wherever you are in your journey. And so it's never too late for you. And so for me, even though I jumped into the healing process right away, it's not too late to jump into the healing process. And so I would just say, be honest with where you're at in your journey with yourself and with God. And then for me, I just knew that in order for me to make it through this, I was going to need a team that I could look to help me walk through this. And so, of course, I have God. But I also had friends like you that I could talk to and process things through. But I also got a financial advisor. I called my doctor because I had to get some tests run and go through many things that I never thought I'd have to go through before. But immediately she said, I'm going to walk beside you through this, and we're going to get you through this, because that can be a very scary thing. And so I had her. I got a counselor. I couldn't do this all at the same time because, like I said, I was in very much debt. And so I had to go through, and that's a whole other story if you have time for it sometime, but just the process of getting out of debt. But I couldn't get into that right away.
So, not to interrupt you, but will you just give us a little brief summary of maybe how God worked? Well, I know we probably can't go into in-depth detail, but a quick overview of what God did for you in your finances.
Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, I just flourished like never before. It was just so supernatural. But I had about $23,000 worth of credit card debt. And I just said, all right, God, what are we going to do here? And it's just like ideas came. You had one idea for me, and that was to start teaching voice and piano lessons. And I had never thought about really wanted to do that before, but I started doing that. I started selling furniture, selling things off my walls, selling clothes. I mean, all that stuff you can get again. And so I had several garage sales. I sold things on Marketplace. What else? Oh, I had just written a book and a companion journal, and those had just come in, and so I started selling those. And then I was on a health journey, a weight loss journey. I lost some weight, and I became a health coach for our company. Then I got real hypocritical and started making cake pops and selling cake pops.
Here, so, we want you to lose weight, but here, have a cake pop.
Yeah. And so, but that's been amazing, and I still sell cake pops, and so I'm, yes, very much a hypocritical health coach. But it's like the ideas to do that came from the north, south, east, and the west, to the point, Natalie, that within... I counted the days. It was within 2 days of being 1 year of being separated. I was completely debt-free. Completely
wow.
Debt-free, with the exception of a pickup. Oh, I sold both my cars. I was on foot for a while. I finally got a truck in the midst of trying to pay off debt. I found a truck. And anyways, it's just that part of it alone has been amazing. And God just caused me to flourish through that. And I could go into some more detail on that, but that was amazing. But that was part of my putting a team together of people that I could look to in every way, spiritually, physically, emotionally. Started going to counseling and just dealing with, you know, some of the things and getting through affairs and just things that came out, and just how to walk through some of the, you know, rejection and betrayal and just different things, and learn how to be a healthier person, and some of the things that I needed to work on, setting good boundaries and just becoming a healthy person. And I'm not there yet, and I know I've got things I need to work on, but I can honestly say that I just feel so alive, and I'm just so grateful to God and how He just put all that together and helped me. And I would just encourage people, get you a team in place that you can go to for whatever you need. But God is going to help you step by step, get the pieces of your life back together moment by moment, day by day.
That is so good. You mentioned your book. And so why don't you just tell us a little bit about that book? Because I feel like, or as I see you, because you're my friend, you're a really good friend. And so I've known you since, 11 years? We said earlier in the show that you moved here and we became friends. But I've been able to see you before and after, and I see a different Marianne now. Which, not that it was a bad, but different, and different good. And through that, you know, this book came out and you became debt free. And I see a better position and place that you're in. And so just tell us just a little bit real quickly about this book that you came up with and you started selling.
Well, it was just at the perfect time. I just decided to get it done during COVID, you know, when everybody was staying at home all the time. I thought, well, this is the perfect time. And so really the week I got separated was the week I got my book in the mail, and I had coffee cups made to go with it and pens, and then, of course, the companion journal. Anyways, it's called Priority One, Time with God, and it's kind of a prayer tool and a prayer journal, and it kind of goes hand in hand. And it's just for anybody who maybe a new believer who maybe needs ideas on what to pray and how to pray. And then also if you're a seasoned disciple and you just want to shake it up a little bit. And so that was a blessing. And I'm Ashley. I don't know if you knew this or not. And Ashley, everybody, Natalie designed the cover for this book. So it's worth it just to see what she did for the cover. It's pretty cool. But also I have two more books in the works. One is on divorce recovery. And so I'll go into a little bit more detail about my story. And then also I am working on a devotional book, and I'm shooting to have 50 or 60 daily devotions in there, and so that will be up and coming.
That is good. And so do I get the honor of making the book cover?
Absolutely. I wouldn't ask anybody else.
I'll see what I can do. So do you still have some of these priority one books available?
I have a few, yes.
So how, so how can our listeners get their hands on this? Is there an email address that they can email you?
Yes, you could email me, or even if you wanted to go on the Cornerstone Wheeler Facebook page, you could get a hold of me there, or just friend me on Facebook, Marianne McGinnis, M-A-R-I-A-N-N-E, and then McGinnis is M-C-G-I-N-N-I-S. And if you wanted to email me, it's MarianneMCG23@gmail.com.
Okay. So I want to go back to listeners that might be going through loss and divorce. Would you be willing to pray for those listeners?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lord, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for anyone who can hear the sound of my voice right now, Lord God. You see the deepest needs of their heart. Lord, you know exactly every detail of what they're going through and dealing with. And Lord, I know that you have such compassion and such love and such grace and such mercy. And Lord, I just pray right now that whoever needs to do this, Lord, that they would just stop and just get still and get quiet for 1 second, Lord, and just receive your love, your undying love, your unconditional love, the love that never fails, the love that sees over all issues, all mistakes, Lord, just your full compassion. And Lord, I just thank you right now that as they look to you, Lord, that you are beginning a healing work in them, or a continuing healing work in them, wherever they're at in their journey, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're just going to put piece by piece their life back together in the name of Jesus. Lord, breathe your life on my friend right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that as their heart is towards you, you are going to show yourself strong on their behalf in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So in closing, would there be any last comments that you would like to leave our listeners with, or anything that you'd like to say before I close out this program tonight?
I want to just say, let's just keep following Jesus with all of our heart. And he's such an amazing God, and he has such an amazing plan for our life. Don't give up. Hang in there. Look to him. He's got you. He knows the end from the beginning, and he's going to take care of every situation in your life as you just keep looking to him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on what you see, what you feel, on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
That is, amen. That is so good. Well, thank you so much for sharing and being willing to be vulnerable. I know that as with anything, when we go through anything, it's a process.
Yes.
And so we want to encourage you guys out there as you're going through whatever it is that you may be going through, that God is with you. He loves you, and he does want the best for you. I also want to remind you that our website, SundayNightLive.org, also has Cornerstone's Facebook page link on there if you'd like to just go into that and click on there. But if this program has been a blessing to you, or you would like to reach out and have us pray for you, or get a hold of Marianne, you could also email me from the SundayNightLive.org website, and we will get with you. But we are going to have to close because we are out of time. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you next week, and enjoy your December, no matter where you're at in your life. Enjoy where you are, and allow God to just bring joy in every situation, no matter what. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Yeah!